Hi, everyone, and welcome to God Size Stories. This is your host, Patricia Holbrook, and today I have a fun guest. Her name is Carrie Damiano, and the reason I found her story inspiring and encouraging to my audience is this. Many women get to their 60s and 70s, and they find themselves lost concerning their purpose. If they are married and have kids, the kids are usually grown and out of the house. Single women at that age are contemplating retirement often, and they sometimes feel discouraged concerning what is next. On that note, Carrie is an inspiration to all of us. Carrie is single and at an age where many women lose their zest for life, but not her. She is the creator, writer, and host of her own web series and blog about travel, style, and worship. The name of her show is Miss World Traveler, and she is one stylish lady. She has been to over 130 countries and all 50 states. Her love for all things glamorous, which she weaves into every YouTube episode, stems from her decades-long tie to the pageant community. But Carrie's talents don't end there. She is an accomplished pianist, she's a sought-after speaker for women's ministries, and a passionate advocate for scripture memorization. Her dedication to sharing God's Word through her ministry, The Amazing Word, has led her to memorize over 20 books of the Bible. She is a busy coach, pageant judge, and a speaker to women's events. And I love her motto, 60 is the new 30. I'm not there yet, Miss Carrie, but I love it. This conversation is for anyone who wants to receive encouragement to continue pursuing their dreams and their life's purpose, regardless of their age. Carrie's YouTube channel and website are on my show notes. Enjoy this conversation. Carrie, well, first of all, welcome to God Size Stories. And it's a pleasure to talk to you. I like your sash. What does it say?
It says Miss World Traveler.
Oh, that's right. That's your title. And indeed you are a world traveler. My goodness. Of course, I will do in the introduction of the show that they have already heard a little bit about you, but it's incredible to see how much you have done. And I'll tell you the reason why I got very interested in talking to you is because I'm at that time in my life where my kids have, grown up, and I, of course, many of my friends are in the same boat. And there are also, I have several friends who are single like yourself and, who have not been married or are not married now. And they, I think that I love it how much purpose you have found, and that like age is just a number for you, and you are one busy lady. And I was like, I need to talk to her because I believe it will encourage a lot of women out there, who may think, my kids now, what now? What now?
What now? I mean, that's a big life question, isn't it?
It truly is. But tell me a little bit. I know that you, I read it on your Bible, you were saved at a very young age.
That's right. And 8 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. So I was very fortunate about that my mom and my sister and I all got saved on the same day.
That's so amazing. That's beautiful. Well, but you then got involved in pageantry, right?
So I did.
Tell us a little bit how you got. Well, I can tell you're a very beautiful lady, so I'm sure.
Thank you. Well, it's an interesting story because I was in college, which is late for a lot of girls to get involved, though you can come to it at any time. But at the time, that was in the 80s, and I was very into my studies. So I was very academic, And I was very athletic, so into sports. And so I started feeling the spirit moving about, you know, I have something for you. I want you to do this. And I went, are you sure? I don't think that's for me. You know, so I had this conversation with God about, you know, okay, Lord, I hear you. I see the pull. I feel the pull, but I'm not sure it's for me. And so as we often do, I said, okay, Lord, if this is something that you have for me, show me how. Bring someone into my life. Show me something so that I have an idea of where to go. Time, all we had was the Yellow Pages. So there was no looking it up online. Just information wasn't as readily available as it is now. So it just so happened that I was at a meeting of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and this woman showed up. To this day, I don't even know why she showed up, but she did. And she had been involved in pageantry. And so God made this connection between us. And that was how it got started. And then once I was obedient and said I would do it, then, you know, I got addicted.
Yes. And then you, up to this day, you're still involved. And how are you involved today with the pageantry industry?
Well, I judge all over the country because I've been in it for over 40 years now. So God has called me to sow into the lives of young women. So it's all of these years of experience and, you know, you gain bits of wisdom along the way and taking that back. You know, as Titus 2 says, that the older women are to teach the younger women and sowing it back into them. It gives me great joy. It's a calling. I love to do it. And I love to watch young women become who God meant them to be. A lot of times I get to do a lot of spiritual, mentoring, sometimes not, but God still uses that as well. So it's something I really enjoy. Just feel called to do it.
I understand that. I coached volleyball for several years, and it is a way of imparting God's love and in people's lives, in young women's lives. It's a very, very special thing to do, and I love it that to have two girls. So of course I'm a girl's mama. So. I love anybody who wants to impart wisdom and just be a mentor to this young generation. They certainly need it, you know?
Right.
I mean, there are many kids out there, many girls out there, girls and boys who really need that role model. And especially I would think that in that type of industry, which can be, very negative in many ways, right?
Whether
it's
all
about the looks.
Yes.
The focusing on the looks. And so it's important to have women like you who are involved in it that also are looking at the spiritual aspect of this young lady. So,
yes. Well, it calls to young women who want to make a difference in their communities. So their voice becomes very important and they have something to say. And so when you think about how God can use that, because here they are given this platform to have people listen to them. And so it's so important that we're speaking to the good, we're speaking to develop confidence, we're speaking to positivity and not to, as you mentioned, some of the negative things.
Excellent. Absolutely. And then you also have a ministry that's called The Amazing Word. I read on your website, you have a passion for memorization, started about 20 years ago, and you have memorized 20 books of the Bible.
Yes, over 20 books. In fact, I'm quoting Sunday morning at church. We're in a series in Romans, and I'm quoting chapter 12.
Oh, I love chapter 12 of Romans.
It's packed.
Yes.
It is a packed, heavy, dense chapter.
You can spend a year on 11 and 12. There's just, and 13 to, but the whole book of Romans. But that is incredible that you are able to memorize. So So tell me about your ministry. I know that you are a speaker, but what is it that you offer for the people who follow you on your website, Amazing Word?
Sure. Well, I'll address the website here in just a minute. Let me tell you a little bit about what the Amazing Word is. I believe all of us are called, because the Bible says we are, to hide God's word in our heart. Mm-hmm. So it's something, yes, that I'm passionate about, but some people will say to me, it must be easy for you. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for anyone. Mm-hmm. You have to work at it. And it's repetition. And I always say it out loud. So I'm hearing it. The words are forming in my mouth. You know, I'm using several different senses to, you know, over and over and over in order to memorize it. So it does not come easy for me. Where the gift is in the delivery, in the interpretation of it. Not everyone can get up in front of people and deliver God's word from memory. So that is what God has gifted me to do. So I do travel around, and I do this for women's groups, for churches, for all kinds of different, you know, whoever is interested. And it's ministry, so it's not anything that I charge for. I just feel like, go out, speak the word with boldness, as scripture asks us to do, and let people be blessed by that.
I love that. It's beautiful. And I want to end this podcast towards the end. I want you to interpret or recite for us Romans 12. Another little
I'd be happy
for you. Since you're going to do that at church on Sunday, I'll give you the chance to practice it again.
Wonderful. Nothing like being put on the spot. Right?
No, I'm just like, oh, you know, this is funny, because I did an interview two weeks ago. And so this church, they were looking for somebody, preferably who spoke Spanish. And Portuguese is my first language, but Spanish is one of my other languages. And so I had put on my notes that I spoke Spanish. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the interview, this pastor starts asking me questions in Spanish. So I was put on the spot like that not too long ago.
So you're paying it forward, Patricia? Is this what I hear you saying?
It forward. I didn't mean to, but we can say that I'm doing that. Well, all right. Well, let's talk about the Miss Traveler.
Yes.
You know, this persona that you have. So how did you come up with this idea of a web series on travel? First of all, I envy you so much. 125 countries.
Over 130 now. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Well, keep in mind, Patricia, I never married and never had children. So while all of my contemporaries were saving for kids' college and taking kids to ballet and soccer and all of those things, I traveled. So I think that, you know, my life has been what my life has been.
Yeah.
And I just went and had, you know, lived life, because God called me to a different life than maybe what is traditional. And that's okay too, right?
Absolutely.
But how this came about was, I've had no business since 2000, so 24 years. And all of that time, I knew something big was coming. And as each sort of new thing came along, I'm like, okay, Lord, is this the big thing? And he'd just say, no, but this is what I have for you right now. And then the next thing would come along, the sort of next evolution. Is this it, Lord? No, but this is what I have for you right now. And this has gone on for over 20 years. And finally, when sort of the scales were lifted off my eyes and I could see what it was, then I could see how God had been preparing me for the last 20 some years of, had to go get that piece, and I had to get this piece of experience, and technology had to be right here, and everything had to be in place. And so I feel a little bit like Sarah, you know, Abraham and Sarah, that had to wait so long for the promise. Even though I knew it was coming, I wasn't ready, even though I thought I was. Mm-hmm. But God was preparing me. So when I finally could see what it was just like, there's the plan. There's exactly what you're supposed to do. And now I'm just having the time of my life, working the hardest I've ever worked, but just enjoying every moment. And I get to work with my niece. So family, there's a family component. Just, you know, feel so very blessed to be able to do this.
Wow. But Tell the public who doesn't know you, what is this web series? Like, how did you get involved with this? And how do you make your income from that?
Okay, absolutely. These are silly questions. First, what it is our mission is to inspire women to travel and then shop local. So it's about travel and shopping. Now, as you know, there are thousands of travel websites and blogs and information, places to get information. So I wanted to do something different. And because my experience is different, with my background in pageantry, that's where the Ms. World Traveler came from. So this is not a pageant title. It's an ode to my pageant background. But I wear it wherever we film because that brings people in. Oh, well, now what is this? And they ask questions. It's like a marketing tool. It also sets me apart from the other thousands of people doing this. And we're giving different information. I'm not telling you where to eat and where to stay. And we're not eating scorpions and bungee jumping off cliffs and things like that. It's really about women and their stories. So I shop the whole city and I try and pick out very interesting stores that have women designers, artists, entrepreneurs, and then hear their story, see what they're making, try and promote them because, as women, we try and empower other women, right, to be successful in what they're doing. So even though it is a web series about travel and shopping, it's very purposeful in what we're trying to accomplish.
I love that. So you're bringing the spotlight to businesses and women that would otherwise be easily missed by the big channels and the big That's shows and what have you. And I love that. It's a very specific niche. And it also, on one side, you're also helping those women be successful as well in their
causes. That's the idea.
That's the idea. That this is so great. So you mentioned in the beginning of the conversation that like you were going through for 25 years that you were like, okay, God, is this it? And it wasn't that. God, is this it? And I believe that so many of us can resonate with that message of like, Lord, what is it that you have for me? Mm-hmm. And you said that he would say no, this is not it. But at the same time, when you look back, you see that he was preparing you and equipping you, which is just how he does things. But give one example of something that, like, when it was happening, it maybe didn't make any sense at all, and today you look back and say, "Oh my goodness, I understand now. I'm using this today."
Yes. Well, back in 2006 to 2010 timeframe, I had my own TV show. And it was virtually the same principle as what we're doing now, but the technology was different. So I actually had to have a cameraman with one of those great big, cameras, and it was on tape. And we had to send it to a television station, that kind of thing. And I did 45 episodes, so traveled all over the world. And it never sold. So that was a huge financial burden. But as I look back now, I see what God was doing, giving me all the skills that I needed to do it now. So understanding how to find the places, how to write scripts, how to produce and direct show, all of those kinds of skills, which we've done some of that, but not specifically for television. Mm-hmm. So even though right now we are only on the web, which means I don't have to sell it to anybody.
Yes.
Great.
Beauty.
But we still produce it like it's a television show. Now we can do it just on a camera. So, so things are quite a bit different now. But that's an example of a piece that I needed to get. And at the time, it was, frustrating. Okay, yes. Lord, why are we spending all this money? And nothing ever happened with it. Something did happen. I just didn't know what it was.
Wow, that's great. So before you started working, doing this, what did you do before for a living?
Before 2000?
Yes, I guess before 2000, probably.
Sure. I ran two electronics companies in two different states and commuted between the two. So I, you know, had the regular job and the steady paycheck and the medical insurance and all of those really cool safety net kinds of things. Don't you find this, Patricia, that women these days, even if you do have a job like that, the desire is to be able to do what you're passionate about. Yes. And making that leap into, what if I don't have a steady paycheck? And, that yes. safety net, that's about our trust in God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And trusting Him to provide for us. And that if He's given us a passion for something, He's going to bless us as we use it for Him.
Do you love God's Word? Can you imagine if you didn't have a copy of the Bible? Well, for those who don't know, I am the president and content creator of Soaring With Him Ministries. And at Soaring With Him, our passion is to bring the truth of God's Word to life and make it accessible to everyone. Through our Bible Literacy and Distribution Program, we provide free Bibles and Bible studies that I write to women in our Agape Shelter program. But that's not all. We also have a form on our website that anyone from all over the world can request a copy of the Bible. And listen, we receive requests from all over the world that we simply cannot fulfill. We need your help. Would you consider joining us in our mission to spread the Word of God? Your donation of just $50 can provide Bibles to 10 people in need. Now, if you become a monthly partner, every $25 that you donate monthly can give one study Bible to someone who wants to learn how to study the Bible and dig deeper. I invite you to find out more about Soaring With Him programs and our needs by visiting our website, www.soaringwithhim.com, or go to our show notes and follow the link from there. Yes, and I heard a pastor just this week, he said that if God gives you the skill, He foots the bill. it's true. God will empower you, enable you, and provide for you. I kind of was also on corporate world for many years. I was a business owner. Then when I moved to America, I was in the corporate world, and then I started my ministry while I was working full-time and had little kids. And in 2013, God just put in my heart, mine and my husband, to take that leap of faith. And it was big because, I made a pretty good money. So it was a big chunk of our family budget, but we decided, because we don't have any family in town, we decided that it was very important that I was very present in our children's lives. So we decided that. But I never stopped working, really. I mean, I was at home with them, but that's when I really started investing in my ministry, in my writing, and as much as I could with the time that I had. But you are right. There is if you see the Proverbs 31 woman, that acclaimed Proverbs 31 woman, she works. She's, she takes care of her family. So she's evidently also a homemaker, but she works and she's doing things to provide for her family. And then you said something that's very true. I think that every woman has this. Every person, really, they have this dream, that this passion that they wish that they could fulfill. And now that brings me to the next question, because we may be talking to someone out there who is in their 50s, in their 60s, 70s, and they are like, I'm done. I guess that there's nothing out there for me anymore. And you say that 60 is the new 30. So I want to know all about that. I'm not there yet, but I want to know all about that.
Sure. Well, you know, when God brought me to this, which was coming up on 2 years, I was 60 at the time. And so I had somebody recently ask me, why did you wait until 60? I didn't. I've had my own business for a long time. It's just, this was when God said, the time is right. And he gave me such a passion for it that he's given me the energy to go with it as well. And I've always been a pretty energetic person. But, you know, when you think about Sarah, when Sarah had a baby at 90 years old, God must have given her youth and energy back in order to take care of a baby.
Yes.
Right? So, So in a way, that's kind of where I feel like I am, that God has given me the energy and the wherewithal to be able to do this. It's a lot of work, but I'm loving it so much that it doesn't feel like work, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to other women who are thinking it's too late, or, you know, I just don't have the energy, or, you know, it is so much work, you know, whatever is the thing that stops you from stepping out in faith, trusting God, that God's going to provide for that, and that your passion will fuel you. And mm-hmm. I think you'll just be amazed of how excited you are to wake up in the morning and go do whatever this thing, you know, that lights you on fire.
Yes. And, you know, we always find excuses not to do those things that make us fearful. And anytime that you step out on something that might shake your confidence, or maybe that you're not confident enough, you know, in yourself and your own abilities, that's always scary, right? So what do you say to that woman out there who says, you know, yeah, I kind of have a dream. Okay, Carrie, you're saying that I'm 60 and I can do this, but I just don't think that I got what it takes. Mm-hmm. What would you tell her?
First thing, I'm going to quote the verse that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
That's
but
right.
But of power and of love and of a sound mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. So you do have the ability to do it. As with everything in life, you don't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Right? With God, nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. So whenever we try and do things on our own, you know, we stumble and fall. But when we do it within God's will, and as he leads, and we, you know, are obedient and following his word and in the leading of the Spirit, then how can this, you know, how can that be a failure? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very true. And the other thing is that many times when God challenges you to do something scary, it's because he wants to show off. Right. Like, in other words, in your life, he wants to be the one that gets the glory anyway, you know, so you let him shine and you just trust him. Right.
Right. Well, you had asked a question earlier about how to make money from this. And I would like to give you my testimony on that, because it's exactly what you were just talking about, that God is going to provide, and that it is scary. This was a number of years ago. God, I just felt like the Spirit was leading me to my tithe. My pastor had just given a sermon on the blessed life and giving. So I upped my tithe from 10% to 20%. A couple of years later, the call came again, and I upped my percentage to 30%. A couple of years later, 40%. Well, now we're at 50%. And the first time that I wrote a check for 50%, my hands shook.
Mine would,
you
know, too.
it's scary. Even though God had already proved himself faithful in all of those, you know, little increments, you know, the baby steps each time. But at the same time that God led me to do 50%, he also said, you're not supposed to charge for anything that you do. And of course, my question is, okay, Lord, well, what is 50% of zero? How does the math work on this? And it was just a, trust me. And I did. And I can tell you, Patricia, that now I have complete and total financial freedom. I don't ever wonder where money is coming from. I don't even look in my checkbook if there's something, you know, it's true. So, oh, $4,000 for this or, you know, whatever. I write a check, period. Whether it's in my counter, I don't look, because I know God is going to provide, because he's been faithful all of this time. So when you were talking about, you were asking me, how do you make money at this? I don't make money at this. I spend money on it, right? But God still provides. You probably can't tell, but I've actually never missed a meal. So
yeah, that's awesome. It's his boy. He does blow your mind in the ways that he provides for his people, especially, you know, and we've gone through that same challenge as a couple, me and my husband, you know, on the tithing, and we can also testify of God's faithfulness. And even in very, very difficult times when you're unemployed and different things, he always provides. It's very, very true.
Always provides.
Very true. Now
it's that scary step to take the first one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Carrie, you were single, and you, the way you spoke, it just gave me joy in the fact that you are very at peace, that was God's calling for your life. And I do believe that there are men and women who they're not necessarily supposed to be married, you know, and that's God's calling. Well, tell me, how did you come to that peace? Because, you know, we all want somebody at some point in time, at least in our lives. How did you come to that place? And and I have several friends who are older and who are single as well. How did you reach that place?
I think it was a lifetime of trusting God. You know, I don't know that I started there in my 20s and 30s when you're kind of looking around and all my friends are getting married and having children. And, you know, and I had a plan when I was 18 that I was going to be married at 24 and done having babies at 30. Well, 30 came and went, and that didn't happen. Obviously, that was my plan, not God's plan.
Yeah.
But just, you know, walking with the Lord for many, many years. And he just continues to show you, this is what I have for you. And there's blessing in every stage of life. And now it's so interesting, Tricia, that just these last few months, I've been talking a lot more because people are interested to know, how is it that you've stayed single your whole life? And why? And I just say, it never happened for me because God didn't mean it to happen for me. That doesn't mean it won't later. I'm not looking for it. I'm not worried about it. If it happens, wonderful. If it doesn't, wonderful. So I think just coming to that realization that you just trust that God has the absolute best for you, whatever that is, and you put yourself in his hands, then you can be happy in no matter what circumstance that you're in.
Yeah, it is an easier said than done type of, you know, like what I'm saying is I got married a little later than most. I was 30 when I got married, and 33 and 37 when I had children. And before I got married, like all of my friends were married. I had one friend that was not married, and everybody else, you know, were already had children or having children. So I understand it's easier to say it than when you're going through it. But you touched a very, very important aspect, which is, you know, we claim to trust God with our finances, with this, with that, with the other, with why wouldn't we be in that same place when it comes to a partner? Or the fact that God may not have that in mind for you because he has something better for you, you know? And I think that's a message that single women will really be grateful to hear, you know, that you get to that place where you understand that if God wants, if this is God's best for you, he will send somebody
That's right.
to your life.
And if it's not, why would you want it?
Exactly. Right? Oh, my gosh.
Why would you settle? You know, that's just problems waiting to happen, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, married life is beautiful. Children are great. But I was single for 30 years. It was a good life, too. It was, you know, it's just like it does not to have two care for someone every day or taking or raising kids or whatever. There's just so much that you can do and help and even serve God with when you're, you know, and that's the thing. I think that people, if people shift their mind, is instead of just waiting and being upset because the person is not there yet, just go mm-hmm. serve God and go make a difference right. in the world and bless people like you have been, you know, yeah. helping young girls to be confident about who they are and different things. That's wonderful. That's what we need to do with, and really in anything that we are waiting for, whether it's a spouse, it's a job, it's a whatever, we have to right. keep on serving God and worshiping Him.
That's right. Well, Paul says that we are to be content in whatever stage of life that we're in. And then if you can embrace that and be content, then that's when God opens the door to all kinds of blessings. And it might be a different kind of blessing than you thought.
Yes.
You know, it might not be the blessing of marriage. It might be a different kind of blessing.
Exactly.
And that's okay too, because that would be what is God's best for you.
That's exactly right. Well, tell us, what are people expecting to see when they go to your channel, to your web series, your web series on travel?
Yeah. Well, I talked a little bit about it. What I try and do is give a little bit of history to the place. And so we just got back from Rome. We were in New Orleans. This year so far, we've done Miami. We were in New Zealand before that. So domestically, internationally, and we had maybe three or four segments between, you know, from each place. And so I give a little bit of history and, you know, what are maybe a few interesting bits and bobs, you know, about it. That's the whole, why don't you come here? It's a fascinating place. And then, you know, I introduce you to somebody and tell you a bit about their story. And I think especially we as women, we relate to stories.
Yes.
Right? We don't relate as well to things as we do to stories.
Yes.
And once you know the story behind something, so for example, I'm wearing this beautiful Cameo watch. This segment on this place where I bought this in Rome, here's tomorrow. So the story of Cameo Italiano makes this very, very interesting. So you look at it, well, it's pretty, but once you know the story, then it's fascinating.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, so those are, I think that what you're going to hear are the stories, what makes that place interesting, what makes the shopping there interesting, and maybe you learn something along the way.
That's awesome. How long are your episodes, Carrie?
Well, each segment is anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 minutes. So mm-hmm. they're very doable, very watchable, and informative. Entertaining. So, yeah. You know, we have fun, you know, like how we do this podcast, you know, we just have a fun conversation mm. and some laughs and you learn something, but you have a good time doing it.
That's awesome. And do you, whenever you go to these places, do you stay there for a while or are they pretty short?
No, it's quick. Yeah, it's quick. I give myself 2 days to shop the whole city. So I do a lot of research before I go so I can be a little more targeted and then write a script. We film on one day and then we move on to the next place. So
awesome. 125 countries. Tell me about some of the places that like I probably have not even heard of maybe or and that fascinated you.
Sure, sure. Well, I did a trip to Abu Dhabi. It was Abu Dhabi. And I did a day trip to Bahrain and a day trip to Oman on that trip. So those aren't places that are, you know, particularly welcoming to women. So I just did a day trip, but fascinating. Glad that I went. I hired a private guide to you know, to help me around and that kind of thing, which I do hire guides sometimes on places that are not easily navigable on your own. So this is good to know for women travelers. If you're traveling solo and you're going someplace, like Jordan or, you know, someplace that maybe is a little bit not as welcoming to women, hire a private guide. And that will give you a sense of safety, security. You're not going into neighborhoods that are sketchy and you don't know that. And that you're able to target the places that you see and you can see a lot in a very short period of time.
So I know that you have been to Brazil.
We're going. I have been both times. And we are headed. That's our next trip. Actually, we leave May 7th.
Oh, that's where I am from. That's where that green, the green flag there is from.
I see it right behind you.
Yes. So, yes. So do you know where you're going in Brazil?
We'll be filming in Rio, and I've been doing some research. Do you have any recommendations for me?
Yes, I have many recommendations. Niterói is beautiful. I'm going to send them in writing for you. I'll get your email and I'll send them in my, but Rio de Janeiro, right beside Rio, there's like beautiful cities in the state of Rio, because everybody thinks Rio de Janeiro, the city, you know, it's what Brazil is almost like known for. But there are like little towns near Rio that are historic, and they are incredible, beautiful. And then when everybody talks about Brazil, they talk a lot about Rio, São Paulo, and then the north. But the south, I come from the south, and the south is beautiful and very unique in that it's a little more European. And actually, there are little European cities, that like colony cities in the south. And just different culture. Brazil is so huge. So, you know, you see the thing. It's kind of like here in America. There's like little Americas inside America. And it's the same thing in Brazil. So, yeah.
Well, what brought you to the States?
My husband, okay. Yes. We met in Brazil. I owned a language school in Brazil. So we taught English, Spanish, and Portuguese as a second language. And then we also did translation of events. And we were hired to do the translation of the event that he and the family was coming. So we met then, and then found out we were believers. And we just became friends. And 3 years later, we got married. So long story, very short. But yes, we dated a long distance for...
Oh, did you? Okay.
3 years. Yeah, we'd see each other every 6 to 8 months. It was not easy.
But, well, you know, obviously the courtship worked, right?
Yes, 25 years this year. So.
Wonderful. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, do you have any last things that you would like to tell our audience, Carrie, that you might want to?
Well, I would be happy to quote Romans 12. You had asked me if I would be willing to do that. Again, kind of on the spot, but I'll give it the old college try.
Oh, that would be the our goodbye letters, the words. They couldn't be better. Romans 12 for my audience.
Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we are many in one body, but every member has a different function. So we, being many members, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Oh, that was so good. Very, very good.
So I'm not quite ready for Sunday yet.
You were great. Oh my goodness. I think that I probably can quote maybe four verses of the entire chapter. Maybe.
There's a lot of familiar verses in there, which is nice, because when people hear something that they're familiar with, oh, you know, kind of perk up like, oh, yeah, I know that one.
I can say it with you.
That's well, right.
Carrie, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, and thank you. You too, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming and wishing you great success. And thank you for the inspiration you are for us women who, you know, are not 20 anymore and who still have great hopes to do great things for God and for man. And so I thank you. I thank you for your inspiration. You keep going, girl.
Thank you. Amen.
Seven is going to be the next 40.
Yeah. It'll be the new something. To see, right?
That's right. Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with our guests this week. If you'll go to my show notes, you'll be able to find the links to connect with the guests and any information that you need to know about their organization. Before you leave your platform, don't forget to hit subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes of God Size Stories, and give us a 5-star review. It really makes a difference in the rankings of the show. And until we meet again, may God continue to bless you and strengthen you as He writes your own God-sized story. Thanks for listening.